I hope your day is full of lemurs and chimpanzees and orangutans and gorillas and I guess it's an ape. It's an ape intro, guys. I've gone ape shit. What's up? We have an amazing episode of Shank for you this week with the one, the only Stephen Randolph. But before we get into this week's episode of Shank with Stephen Randolph, there's just a few things I want to tell you about. First, I am going to be in Austin, Texas on August 16th at Vulcan Gas Co. I am headlining. There's links to tickets in the description of my bio on Instagram. Really easy. Everything's in my link tree. So if you want to buy merch, if you want to subscribe to the Patreon, just go to my Instagram at Princess Shank, hit the link tree and everything is right there. Also, if you're in LA on August 6th, I am coming to Nightcap with Kim Congdon, Josh Potter, and Johnny Pepperton. We're doing a Post-It show where whatever's on the Post-It is what we have to do stand up about. So it's going to be fun. It's not a regular set. If you're in LA and you're looking for a good time, you want to come have some laughs, come out to Nightcap on the 6th. And then of course I'll be at Skankfest. That's not till the end of September, but for all show dates and everything at Princess Shank on Instagram. And before we get into this week's episode of Shank, I want to tell you about a new sponsor. One of my favorite sponsors, Flint's Mints. If you're someone like me, you smoke a lot of weed and you hate cotton mouth, these mints are for you. If you're someone who likes sucking dick, but you don't have enough saliva, these mints are for you. Yeah, I'm talking about gluck gluck in my intro. It happens, guys. Shop Flint's Mints. We have a special link. And if you shop through this link, which I'll put it up right here, if you use that link, you get 10% off. And it's a great, great way to support your podcast. The flavors are amazing. My personal favorite is luxury grape. They also have strawberry magic, cherry, and they all have different levels of sparkling and tingling. So if you get the strawberry magic, that's level F225. So that would make your mouth sparkle and tingle more than the cherry, which is F150. So you can shop the Flint's Mints, whatever. If you're someone who has a real bad cotton mouth, maybe you want to get the more extreme level of mouth watering. Make your mouth sparkle and you'll think of me. Thank me later, guys. Shop Flint's. Also, look down at your feet right now. Are you wearing socks? If you're not wearing socks, ask yourself why. Why? You need socks. They're essential. They protect your most valuable assets, your toes. Cover them up. They're great around the house. They make great gifts. I never wake up and say, you know what? I wish I had less socks today. What's really amazing about Oh Yeah is that they collaborate with different artists to bring unique sock designs. So whether you're into lollipops or aliens, there is a pair of socks for you, and they make great gifts, and it's a great way to support the podcast. Shop ohyah.com. That's 3 O's H-Y-E-A-H.com. Discount code Sarah10, S-A-R-A-10 for 10% off unique sock designs. And again, I'm coming to Austin, Texas on August 16th. Buy tickets. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And subscribe to the Patreon. Please buy merch. It's all in the description. And let's get into this week's episode of Shank with the one, the only Stephen Randolph, guys. Here it is. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Shank. I'm Sarah Weinshank, and today's guest is the one, the only comedian, Stephen Randolph.
Hi.
I'm excited to have you on the podcast.
Me too.
I haven't had you on my podcast, but I did your podcast.
A long time ago,
So, but you've been killing it with your clips online.
Oh, thank you.
Your stand-up has been so funny.
I'm having so much fun doing it, and I have just as much fun making the clips as I do actually performing.
Like
I love the post-production of it, the shooting it, gathering, finding out what moments. Like I really like putting it together and curating it. It's been so fun.
You can tell that you like doing it. I'm just like, right now I feel like I'm just going through the motions.
Of doing it?
Yeah.
Of
doing clips, because I get tired of watching myself. And then do you get in your head before you post the clip?
Always.
Does that happen to you?
Always. In the ones that do the best, I'm always like, is this even good? And then I come back from a meal and like, you see all these like, oh, people are like, I love that one best. I'm like, oh, I don't even like that one.
I know. It's so hard when it's of yourself to not judge yourself.
Every I say, I mean, there's just like four things I do in speech pattern that just disgust me thoroughly.
When you say,
and like, right, guys are like, I'll say like, I'm like, oh, that's why I hate comics that do that. Cause I'm that guy, you know, I'm like, isn't that right? And I did like the last one I just put out today. There's a moment in there, and I think it's a funny video of the crowd work with the people on Reddit. There are these people that met on a group called I Am Lonely.
That is so dark.
Dude, I was going to start teeing off on them, and they just had these beautiful, loving eyes. And they're multi-ethnic, like one of every continent. You know, it was just like this, like God's people. You know, the people of Earth who are lonely and all found each other. And they were all just looking at me and like, well, we've never been to a comedy show, like that kind of vibe. And I'm like, where'd you meet? A Reddit group. I'm like, what was it called? They're like, Lonely in Edmonton. And
no.
I'm just like, oh my God.
That is so dark.
And Abby was headlining, Abby Roberge. And after the show, he goes, man, I was thinking like, oh, why is Steven bitching out, like going so soft on these people? He goes, and then I went up and looked at their faces. And he did the same thing. They're just so sweet.
Oh, that's so dark to meet on Reddit.
I know it is. And video.
Is it more dark to be alone? I feel like it's dark to meet on Reddit and then to tell people that's how you met. I would lie.
I would lie too. I'd be like, guys, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Here's our cover story.
Yeah.
We didn't meet on a Reddit subreddit called I Am Lonely.
No, it would be better to meet honestly on a dating app.
Absolutely. I've been meeting women on dating apps since the mid 90s. I was the, I was the first, I was within the first 10,000 people, I guarantee.
What was the first one you did?
AOL chat rooms. When I was 15, I was just like, I typed something sexual in and some anonymous person was
some
like,
a woman.
Yeah, it was like, ooh, I like that too. And I was just like, oh my God. And I was trying to tell all my friends at these backyard cake parties and they're just like, you loser. And I was like, no, you guys are losers.
Yeah.
You're going and sitting in this backyard, leaning up against the wall to try to go meet people. I'm meeting people at my fingertips. And it was, people would make fun of me for 5 years, from 95 to 2000. People would rip on me.
No.
I would primarily date online.
No.
From day one.
What other ones did you do?
There was this really dark one called Adult Friend Finder that
no.
I, yes, but that was like, you think you're a freak until you're like, you pay with credit card money to join a membership of like, you're just like, oh, I'm not, these people are hardcore. They were like
Adult Friend Finder.
Yeah. They would have like brunches, like kink brunches or no. And I never went, but I wanted to, but then I would just like, just masturbate and be like, wow, it's dark. I don't want to go to a fucking
kink brunch.
Yeah. Like what you're, there's a world there. Google it.
I'm interested in a kink brunch.
Yeah. And then there's this other site called like FetLife that I briefly got on, but
FetLife?
Yeah.
You were deep
in the
culture.
Sam Tripoli told me about it. He goes, bro, I don't want you to know about it. Cause he was talking to someone else. I go, what's the app called? Then he's like, buddy, I don't want you. It's really hard to get off there. And then I went on and there was like literally like whatever fetish you're into. I remember there is a bunch of people meeting at a cafe for this kink. And I'm just like I'm up for anything when I'm horny, but just to be like, oh, it's 11 PM. Like got to go to the fetish. Like we're all meeting at Coco's, you know, like no, it's not sexual. Like we're just a community of
we're
like,
we're going to have waffles.
That's so dark.
Having waffles with a bunch of kink people. Yeah. They're all wearing collars at Coco's.
I know. Just talking normal. Like, oh, taxes this year. Yeah. Like, oh, you know.
FetLife is a social networking website that serves people interested in BDSM, fetishism, and kink.
I mean, you could just type in any anything you're into and find like that group of people within your city.
I bet there's some crazy kinks I don't even know about.
Oh, there is. There is.
Should we go on FetLife?
And then I went. You should go on FetLife and find a podcast guest. From the weirdest thing you find and just talk to, that would be so, I would listen. That'd be so interesting.
You want me to bring on a FetLife member?
Yeah. Vet them.
How do you vet a Fet?
You asked if they know Sam Tripoli or not.
Do you know Sam Tripoli? Yeah. Okay. You're in.
Yeah. If they don't know him.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So
I've never even heard of that.
I wasn't deep on this, but then I started dating Chelsea shortly after getting on this. I was like, oh, and I
thank
just,
God.
Yeah. I just like got off all of them.
Cause that shit gets dark. I just deleted all of them.
There's something weird about the apps. It's so like addictive. It's not real.
Well, especially Raya.
I never got on that.
Oh my God, it's a nightmare.
So do you just see, like, I imagine being a famous person, right? Because there's a lot of, like, famous people on Riot. Like, everything you say could just get screen capped and put everywhere. So, like, you can't even, like, if I was single, like, you can't even, I wouldn't even be vulnerable. Because I'd just be like, everything I'm saying has the ability to just be seen by everybody. Even my game, my misses, my, you know.
Yeah. That's a fear. Especially because, like, the Jonah Hill text that just came out.
Yeah.
I'm like, some of them were not that bad, but then when they were released, they seemed worse.
Yeah, you never know what's really going on. You know, it's like at the Johnny Depp trial, the very beginning, it was like, he's a monster. And then after you listen for 5 minutes, you're like, oh, she's the monster.
She's scary as fuck.
Yeah, she...
There's something about Amber Heard.
Dark.
It's in her eyes.
It's in her eyes. It's always in their eyes.
It's always in their eyes.
Yeah, they're little serpent
eyes. She makes me a little uneasy. Like, I know. My stomach drops to the floor.
I served him and her at this bar, this restaurant called Ago, this Italian restaurant that I worked at. It was all Italian. I was the only non 100% Italian that worked there. And they'd be like, you're not real Italian.
No.
They would like degrade me and be like, you don't know what you're doing. If I needed the job.
And
it was on, everybody famous went there, but it was on Melrose. It was called Ago and Robert De Niro owned it. And they would smoke inside and it was all old Italian men and they would pull the tips. And then Stevie, we didn't do that good tonight. And I'm like, what? I sold a bottle of wine for $2,000. Like, what are you talking about? But anytime it was like a celebrity client, because my English was the best, they would have me serve them. And so I served for an entire, they shut down half of the restaurant for Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. This was like in 2011, probably. And I served them the whole night. She was so beautiful. It was shocking. Like, she just had a glow. She was just sitting there and he was like so charming. He smoked 50 hand rolled cigarettes. I mean, it was just nonstop for 7 hours.
That explains
7 hours.
Why his teeth look like that now.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
I know. And then he, I had the coolest moment with him. So then everybody started surrounding. They were in this little canvas this patio that they had canvas like zip up, like you could make it like its own
private.
Little private. Yeah. And so he had that with his friends, and he stayed there for hours and hours. I was just sitting there quiet, and then I started talking to him, and he was really friendly. And then all the paparazzi came and they were like trying to claw through the canvas. The canopy thing. Because some of them had like frosted glass, so you can kind of see figures out there. And then his private security goes, okay, we're going to get the car around. And they had this whole action plan. And I watched it in real time, like how celebrities get out of that super crazy swan. And I was just like, it was like military tactics. And I was sitting next to him. I swear to God, this happened. It sounds like I'm just trying to be funny. He put on aviator shades. Put it on my whole life that this happened.
Okay.
On anything.
Okay.
So there's the zip up thing. And we were both on the inside of the zip up. And his driver was going to come and grab him. And all the paparazzi were right there. And I'm just sitting there after a serving shift for like 8 hours. And he's like, he put on his sunglasses. He goes, it's about to get real bright, brother.
No.
And somebody zipped it up for him. He left. And it was like, bah, 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 bah. And I couldn't see. I was like, wait, what's going on?
No.
And then when I like opened my eyes, like it was all gone. And I was like, that's how Johnny Depp needed to exit. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I'll never forget that in my life.
I'm like, it's about to get real bright.
Bright brother. And then he went out and it was like, wait. And I wasn't used to that. And so he had aviator shades. That's how bright it was. And I was just like, what is he talking? And I looked and I couldn't see. And I got up and everything was gone. I ended up getting fired from that job. Okay.
Why?
Just bad behavior. Because I started mouthing off to him.
You had enough with the Italians?
Yeah, enough of the Italians, dude. Just their bullshit. Like, I grew up around it. Just the whole bullshit. My Italian family, it's just like, they're playing these fucking games with me in my money. You don't do that. And so then I got fired from there for being mouthy. I asked my friend Bill Posley. I was like, man, I just got fired from Ago. He's like, dude, you can get a job with me at Buffalo Wild Wings. And I go, what's that? And he goes, I didn't know what it was. I was like, what's Buffalo Wild Wings? He's like, it's a football beer place. And I'm like, I don't drink beer. I don't eat chicken wings.
Yeah.
And I don't watch sports. But I needed a job. So I'm like, okay. And it was the one on Hollywood Boulevard.
No.
Worse, wildest, crazier things I saw there than the Comedy Store.
What happens at Buffalo Wild Wings?
My second week working there, I thought I saw Johnny Depp at the bar. And I was like, that's him. And I went up to him and I go, hey man, kind of crazy. I'm not stalking you. And I go, I served you at Ago. And he looked at me and kept on watching TV. And I'm like, this fucking guy thinks he's better. You know, I just had such a chip on my shoulder by that point, getting fired from Ago. And I go, huh? And I'm like, and I hated working there. I hated Buffalo Wild Wings. I have crazy stories from there. But I was like, all right. Hey, I said something louder. And he started speaking in French to me. No. And then I go, what the fuck? And then I go, oh, that's the Johnny Depp impersonator.
No, and at Buffalo Wild Wings.
And then as I worked there for almost a year, all the impersonators and the people on the boulevard would go have their $3 beers or whatever it was. So like Cinderella would be there crying.
That's so dark.
Superman would smoke crack in front of kids.
No. In Buffalo Wild Wings.
If you go to the Buffalo Wild Wings in Hollywood, it's on Hollywood Boulevard.
I've passed it so many times.
There's a side street right there, which all kinds of mayhem. I forgot what it's called, but it's like Sycamore or one of those. It's a little nondescript side street. When you're on that side street, it's like where homeless people smoke crack and all kinds of bad stuff goes on. If you're in there, you don't see Buffalo Wild Wings the way it's positioned. It just looks like a wall. But when you're in Buffalo Wild Wings, the dining room has these huge glasses that look down onto this street.
So you can see.
That's your view of whatever you're eating. Next time you go into Buffalo Wild Wings Hollywood, you just look at this shady street. But the shady street doesn't know you're looking. Everybody from Buffalo Wild Wings, it's not like people from Los Angeles are like, I'm going to go to Buffalo Wild Wings and have some good wings and watch the Lakers.
No.
No, it's people that just got here from France, just got here from Sweden. 90% of our clientele, they must have had really good advertising in the planes, are just coming to Hollywood. So it's these families coming to America, coming to Hollywood for the first time, and they're looking out onto a street, and it's all the caricatures who are like Jack Sparrow, all of them. Fucking prostitutes openly.
No.
Superman who OD'd. No. There's a documentary on him. The Superman out there. He would openly smoke crack on that street in his Superman outfit. And one time he was plowing. You could just, we all watched it. Me, 100 children from all around the world, families, all watched Superman in his cape boning some chick and smoking crack. He comes out. I'm like, oh my God, I had a patio shift. So I come out just as this kid goes, Superman, what were you doing? He goes, what the fuck did you think I was doing, kid?
And it
was
just, I will,
for the rest of my life, never forget that.
Superman, what were you doing? I guess you do have to smoke crack to wear a cape on Hollywood Boulevard.
If you Google that, there is a documentary about the guy. It was really sad about the guy who was the Superman actor. What do you call them? Like Superman street actor?
Street performer?
He just overdosed in a tent. Yeah.
So dark.
You laughed.
I laughed.
That's the clip we'll use right there.
That's the clip. Superman overdosed.
Or was it intense? And you're just like, you just did a little Amber Heard thing right there.
Yeah, I did. You see my serpent eyes?
Yeah, and I would just sit back and be like, Your Honor, this is what I'm dealing with right here.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Confessions of a Superhero?
It's a documentary about, oh no.
Was homeless 4 years before performing as Hulk. Is that him? No.
It's Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah, that was the guy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I ended up working there, and that was the things I saw there.
What do you think would be better, to be an impersonator or to work at Buffalo Wild Wings?
Ooh.
Like now.
An impersonator. You have your autonomy. You're in a role, but it's, you know.
You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, it was a very specific... Buffalo Wild Wings was, I guess for some it's a good job, but that was just not a match. I'm not that guy.
Buffalo Wild Wings, there's nothing about Buffalo Wild Wings that calls me.
Zero.
Like, you know how I feel like a lot of guys like it because they want to watch the game.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around guys watching the game. It brings up childhood wounds. My dad being in the other room watching sports.
I was with the women gossiping in the kitchen while all the guys were doing that. That is so not me. I just would like all the guys would be out beating the shit out of each other, playing basketball and getting in fights. And they'd be like, so you know what I heard, you know, just drinking Crystal Light and gossiping. Yeah. And I would just be like in the air conditioned with my aunts and my mom, just listening to gossip. I'm like, I don't want to.
Nothing's better than a little gossip
over Crystal Light.
Yeah. Crystal Light and gossip. Spill the tea, honey.
A Diane Steele book?
Diane Steele. Well, okay, so how is fatherhood?
Fatherhood is awesome. It's amazing. I love it so much. I love having a daughter. I talk to some of my friends that have sons, and they're just psychopaths, all of them. They're like, oh, boys are just insane.
They like run in circles, beat each other up.
That's and all my friends with daughters were all just like, oh my God, they're just little angels.
That's so cute.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll go through a stage where maybe she rebels or she's bad, but I love having a daughter. It's the most fulfilling and fun thing.
Do you think it's changed your comedy?
It hasn't. It hasn't changed my comedy. It's changed my, I was in a Ferrari in January with a guy who was on cocaine. You know, I do interventions and stuff, right? So we do interventions, and I was with a guy who I was intervening on. Mm-hmm. He had this like $500,000 Ferrari. We were in Miami. This is a longer story, but I was trying to help him get off cocaine. I didn't see the cocaine, but I could just tell his eyes were crazy, and he started going fast. And I go, oh, how fast does this go? Just trying to make small talk. And he had us up to like 135. Instantly. And I go, how fast? Cause it felt like the cars were whipping by, but it almost felt like more comfortable. And I was like, how fast are we going? He's like, we're going 135. This is nothing. I get this up into the 200s. And it was the first time, because usually I'm a pretty ballsy, like wild guy. And I would be like, dude, let's just see how far to the edge we can go. And I just was like, I have a daughter. And I just looked at him and I said, hey man, like, I don't want to be a nerd or anything, but like, I just had a daughter, like, and he goes, oh, okay. And brought it back down to like 80 real quick. And like, I've had like 3 or 4 of those moments, like, where I'm like, I have a daughter. So I can't like really risk myself like hardcore. I watch my mouth. I'm like, who's this guy? Right. It's when I'm out in public, I told it to my friend. I explained it to my friend. I said, it's like, I'm always scanning. He goes, you have dad eyes. So Chelsea will be off in her own world. The baby will be off. But if there's a weirdo coming up, I see it 5 blocks away. And really? I'm like, it's either a threat or not a threat. That's how I view every single encounter with people having a new child. It's like animalistic. I'm like, oh, is this a threat to my daughter? Is this not a threat? Why is this guy at the park eating his sandwich? Is he a pedophile? Like, it's crazy.
No.
Every single man, and I should write a bit about that, but every single man just loitering anywhere instantly becomes a pedophile. I'm like, oh, that's a pedophile. Why is he at the park at 3 p.m. reading a Stephen King book? Like, he's a pedophile, obviously. Everybody without a kid at the park is instantly a pedophile.
I believe that, though.
Where do pedophiles go?
Why would they be hanging out?
Yeah, that's their pickup bar, the monkey bars.
Dude, that must be so fucking stressful.
It is, because I'm hyper vigilant to that.
It's like a whack-a-mole with pedophiles.
And it's also, and Chelsea is like doing all the other stuff. So I'm doing like, I think my burden comes when we're out in public, because if shit pops off, it's on me. But then inside she's taking care of like everything else. But yeah, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Dude, I can't even imagine the level of anxiety of having a child.
So much anxiety that you don't even have anxiety. It goes past the level of anxiety to this like disassociated, like it's almost like, well, she choked on a chip, a Maui chip in Maui. And Chelsea goes, you can't give her chips yet. And she just wanted it. So cause you could see how it's like, how come this parent does everything for their child? And you know, it's like, and I'm like, dude, just tell them no. But it's like when my little daughter's like, I want chip, you know? And I'm like, oh, of course you could have the chip. That she's just drooling watching me eat chips. And Chelsea's like, she is not old enough to eat hard chips yet. And in March, and I was like, yeah, she is. And I gave her a chip, and I was looking around probably on my phone doing something. I go back and she's going, I had just happened to watch a video on the Heimlich maneuver for infants. It's like one of those things where I'm scrolling. I'm like, why is this in my feed? Is this God? Is this the universe? And something was like, watch the video. And I watched, and they're like, okay, you go to their spine. You want to thud. And like, it tells you exactly how to do it. And I watched the video twice, and I was like, huh, good to know. And she was going, and I tried to give her water, and she was choking. And I flipped her over and fucking wham, wham, the chip came out. And Chelsea's in the other room. And I'm like, gee, just almost, you know, something almost bad happened. Yeah. And Chelsea's like, oh, you're not supposed to give her chips. And then we just like went on to the beach, but I was just like, that could have changed my entire life. If I didn't watch that video, I wouldn't have known how to do that. And that was just, I haven't thought about that really since. So that is just, it's just 99 of those.
No.
You go, what's in her mouth? Oh, she has a marble in her throat, like in her mouth. And you're like, where did that? They're just, you just have to watch. What's in your mouth?
You have to watch them at all times.
At all times. What's in your mouth? She bites my dog now and he's been biting her back. No. Yeah, she loves fucking with my dog.
No.
She loves my dog, but she loves, because that's all she's ever known is this big bulldog. And yeah. So, but now she's doing this thing where she runs up and she has like a little devilish smirk and she'll bite him. And then he goes, rah, 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 and goes crazy. And then she starts laughing. But I'm like, oh, this is, you know, like, so I'm watching that and it's not his fault if he were to bite her. But then if he were to really bite her, like, you know, off to the pound.
That is crazy. Yeah. That is so stressful. I just was at dinner with a friend whose daughter was choking on a tortilla chip. And everyone was like so panicked. And one guy just stood up and he did exactly what you said. And it was fine. But the moment of watching her with the chip.
It's
and you get like frozen in fear for a second, but you can't let that control you because the kid could fucking die.
So grateful to watch the video. So if anybody's having kids, just watch the damn 90-second video, the Heimlich for kids. You just smack it right through the back of the shoulder blades, I think, and you kind of put your hand on their front stomach. I could be doing it wrong, but it just said keep whacking and it'll come out, and it did, you know. But
that's so scary.
I know. Anyways, okay.
On another note, what are some of the other jobs you had?
I've had
weird jobs before you started stand up.
So I've had so many, I did stand in extra work. That was my brother and I, when I first got sober, my dad was a cameraman and he would get us stand in work and he'd be like, just don't look at the camera. Don't laugh. And so I would just be dying laughing and just getting all kinds of trouble, like doing stand up. When I first got sober, I was like, oh, I could just be an extra and just lounge. And I would go to like the different studios, take the crafty food and just walk around the studios all day and just get
lost. That's fun.
It was fun.
But the other extras are insane.
They're insane because they're like, okay, so what am I emoting right now? And it's like, dude, you're a blur.
Yeah.
You're a blur that they're going to make 1,000 more of you in a stadium.
I know. And they're like writing their backstories.
I witnessed it and I was like, oh, I gotta stop doing this.
It was instantly. So much mental illness. Like I remember I was an extra and this guy pulls out his phone and he's like, we're going to be getting wet. So I'm calling Zach because we're going to need a water pump.
Oh, yeah.
He's like on the phone. He's like, they're going to be spraying us today. So don't I get a water pump? Like stuff like that.
Oh my God.
And, like everyone was just like calculating how to get extra money because it pays kind of shitty.
Yeah. So I did it. My brother did it. And my brother's best friend, Michael, did it for this summer, like in 2008 or something. And you sit around so much and there's like 20 to 30% of the extras had this reclining chair. It's like this camping reclining chair. And I go to my brother, I go, oh man, that looks nice. And he goes, once you buy one of those, you're done, dude. And I was like, okay, I'm not buying the reclining chair. I quickly got out of that. But there's just extras sitting in comfort, just like pro extras, just loving life.
No. And then they think it's their chance. Like they're going to get discovered and be like moved up to like featured extra or featured like maybe extra, a line or something. Oh. It's so dark. I was an extra on the Nickelodeon show Zoe 101 with Britney Spears' little sister when I was like in my 20s. I was definitely not in high school. And I had like my backpack on, like pretending I was in high school.
Funny.
It was so weird.
And you couldn't talk to like the other extras that were younger?
No, it was all just weird.
There's something dark about Nickelodeon.
Yeah, Nickelodeon's got skeletons in their closet for sure.
Yeah, I see the TikTok algorithm shows me some weird
shit.
Like, just like, this is what's really going on at Nickelodeon. I'm just like, oh, that's weird.
No, I know.
Fucking weird.
What else? The TikTok shit that you can get into can be wild. Like, they were showing me something about how there's children underneath the Getty. I'm like,
really?
I don't know. It was a conspiracy in my TikTok algorithm.
I'm all in the conspiracies now because I liked one and now it's just like, oh, you're in QAnon, you know?
Yeah,
and I'm like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
How do I unlike this and get back to like comedy
animals.
And just like animals?
Mine's like a lot of baby animals.
Oh, that's
like
cute.
Capybara meets a goat. I'm like, yes.
You could tell who the person is by their TikTok algorithm.
Yeah.
It's smart. It knows. It knows what you want. Are you on TikTok a lot? Like as a watcher?
I'm more of like an Instagram scroller.
Yeah.
Are you a TikTok?
I can't stop.
I know, because right before Chelsea was going to give birth, she was like, I just don't want Steven scrolling TikToks.
Oh, she said that? Yeah. I was.
No.
It was so emotional. I don't smoke cigars. In the 30s and 40s, you'd see the guys smoking cigars in the waiting room. I had TikTok. It's uncomfortable because you're so powerless, you know?
Oh my God. What was it like?
Chelsea was so brave.
She was like pushing to Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie. She's like, this is my push song. And it was like Rob Zombie playing.
Yeah.
And it, like, I thought, what an interesting entrance to the world. Because you just see how the woman's vagina through the legs is the portal to, it's the portal to Earth. Everybody has to go through it unless you're a C-section, but going through a woman's body. But Chelsea's legs are open. Rob Zombie's blaring. It was like, it was crazy and like blaring like hardcore and they're like, push, just like, And like, it was like kind of this woman power, energy. I was the only male in the room. So it was everybody in the room was a female, like the doctor, the nurses, everybody, Chelsea, my daughter. And I was like freaking the fuck out. I was just like, oh my God. Cause you would see my daughter's head go up and I'd be like, that's my daughter's skull. And then it would disappear for 10 minutes.
No.
And I'm like, I grabbed the doctor. I'm like, can she breathe?
No.
She's like, yes, dude. Like the doctors were a little too cool. Cause like, they're like, when you're a kid, doctors are like older people, but now they're all like, they have tats and they're like 31, you know? And the doctor was like this cool chick with tats. She's like, dude, it's cool. I'm like, I'm Mr. Randolph. Okay. You know, it's like, have a little decorum or like a little professional, but they were just like hanging out. You know, the doctors were just like cracking jokes with Chelsea. And I'm like, okay. And then when they turn on that little UV light where the baby like first gets cleaned off and stuff, they flick that on and I go, is that, and they're like, that's for your daughter. And I just started sobbing. I'm like, oh, it's real. Like my daughter, God permitting, is going to end up on that. And her head was coming up and disappearing. And Chelsea was like, just like, yeah. Just like, getting all, like she was in a mosh pit and Rob Zombie's playing. And this beautiful girl comes out and she starts screaming and Rob Zombie's playing. She was born in Hollywood at a hospital in Hollywood. And I'm just like, welcome to the fucking world, dude. You were born in Hollywood while Rob Zombie's blaring to Steven and Chelsea. And then just got whisked off to Los Feliz, you know? And I literally held her in my arms and we're looking at the Hollywood sign. I'm like, you picked a crazy place to be born. Welcome. I literally said this to her. I'm like, welcome to fucking Hollywood.
No.
The day after, Chelsea was in labor during the Will Smith smack. So like, it was just this crazy, and I'm wearing a Dolby shirt, a vintage Dolby shirt.
You remember you were wearing?
Yeah. And it was at the Dolby Theater. It was just this weird connection, but yeah, like she was born just in this punk rock way and whisked right into Hollywood.
The Rob Zombie part was amazing.
I know.
I got a video of Chelsea pushing to Rob Zombie.
Yeah, she was like, it's crazy. She was like, crazy.
I was like, whoa. And then I couldn't figure out, like, you know, when you were out of storage on your phone, it was like probably a few months ago. I was like, what is taking up so much storage?
It was that.
It was the video of Chelsea.
And like, do I delete it or not?
I was like, it's gotta go.
Yeah. It's out of here, dude.
It's gotta go.
Yeah, it didn't make the cut.
No.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Yeah. I wonder too, because how our parents had pictures of everything. Everything's in my phone. And I have an old phone in my dresser with memories from 2014 to 2019 that are just, am I ever going to look at those again? Am I ever going to have proof of that again? Like, it's like, how are we going to access these memories again? Cause like, as soon as I get a new phone, I may update some of them. Like you said, I'm like, do I need this? Do I need this?
Do I need 1,000 pictures of my dog?
No.
No. Do I need 1,000 pictures of every ex-boyfriend?
No. And they come up again on the cloud.
Yeah. They'll remind you. They're like, remember this happy moment that you don't have anymore?
With music.
It's like a slideshow.
Big Bear 96.
It's like a slideshow.
It's like, oh. It's like, do I really love this person still? It's like, oh, maybe I don't hate my mom. You know?
Like, it's like a slideshow to it. And you're like, oh, this is aggressive.
Yeah. And the music is sometimes emotional, but then sometimes quirky. Like it picks these weird moods and it's like, oh wow. Just, I never thought I'd get teary-eyed to a minute and a half of a slideshow of my pet to like some like Roiksopp like emo music. It's just weird.
It is really weird, and it hits at the weirdest times.
It'll be like some like picture of my mom and my daughter, and then like a picture of like, you know, Chelsea and I fucking, and then a picture of like, you know, a sunset. Yeah. And it's just like, I guess this is life, baby. I guess this is life.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I've had a bunch of weird jobs. I've always worked in restaurants. I've had a ton of restaurant jobs. I've had just crazy jobs. Worked at Sport Chalet in the snowboarding Sport department. Chalet.
How was that?
That was really fun because we would just smoke weed and just they gave us free ski tickets to everywhere.
So this was before you were sober.
Before I was sober.
Yeah. How long have you been sober?
15 years.
15 years. Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a long time.
Yeah. It just got bad enough. I wouldn't have been on the planet.
Yeah.
I was so bad. I found a picture of me on heroin recently. And I was just was like, it was bad. It just looks
were
like.
Were you shooting up?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's so scary.
Yeah. It was like, it was oddly fun. And then once you realize you're trapped, you're just like, oh my God, my heroin pickup spot was like 3 blocks from where I live now. It just so happened in this neighborhood in Los Feliz. Like I had a couple over a decade of using opiates, but like one of the spots that I had was in this neighborhood near Los Feliz near Home Restaurant. And we're like a couple blocks away from there. And I'll be having one of those days where I'm like, nothing in my life has changed. Like, you know, just kind of like in a dark hole. I don't know if you get that
Course.
Like something just switches and I think everything's shit and I'm a loser and that nothing has changed and everything's dark and there's no point.
Yeah.
It'll be like that for 15 minutes and I'm able to like pull off of that. I used to like live in that, but then I'll be like, oh, everything's awesome. Like, so I was having one of those days and I was pushing my beautiful, healthy daughter, pushing her in a stroller. And I'm like, dude, nothing is fucking... nothing matters. Nothing's changed and blah, blah, blah. And then I passed by the spot where I spent 5 years in a car waiting for heroin. I was like, oh, everything has changed.
That's you know? So gnarly.
Yeah, everything is. I used to just sit in my pajamas in my fucking beat up car on this street. And on the street, there's this pretty little craftsman house. And one day I'm sitting there just withdrawing, just like rocking, waiting for the dealer. And I see they have like an easel and it says Nana's 98th birthday. And I was like, oh, that was like some Greek name or something, like some like Greek.
Opa.
Or yeah. Like Yaya or yeah, like something. Yeah. Some like, I don't know, some Eastern, Eastern European grandmother term. And I was like, oh, that's the grandmother for sure. And I saw the family, celebrating her birthday. And then I was there for her 99th and 100th birthday at the same spot. And I was just like, oh,
getting heroin?
Yeah. And I was like, I remember Nana's 98th, dude. And that's where I was like, just little things like that, where it wasn't like my arms or like the trouble or almost the ODing. It's like, I've literally been outside these people's house for 3 consecutive grandmother birthdays.
That's so lame. Dark.
That's dark. And then the year I got sober, I won't say her name. She was a comedian, but I briefly dated this comedian and on our second date, I picked her up from her house and she lived 3 doors away. And I told her that story. And she's like, huh, have you got an AIDS test? And I was like, not yet. You know, like, I don't think I have it. You know, and I remember that her just being like, huh, there's a shift.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I stayed, oh, that's so crazy. Like I thought it was funny. I was like so close to it. I still thought it was funny. I was like, oh man, trip out. I spent 3 of the grandma's birthdays on your block waiting for heroin. She's like, okay, so we're going to the movies or what's going on?
That's so crazy. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Withdrawing from heroin. How bad is that?
It's so funny. It's really, really bad. Being seasick, I think.
It's like being seasick.
It's not as bad. So I was on my deck. So being seasick, I was stuck on a boat as a kid on a fishing boat. And I was like, I didn't realize I was seasick. I would get seasick. I realized I'm out there with all these grizzled fishermen outside of Newport Beach and we're on a half day boat. And I'm like, I want to go back. Like, this is horrible. And they're like, kid, we're not going fucking back. And I'm like, let me wade in the water.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's sharks in the water. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. Cause it'll equalize my equilibrium. I was so sick. It was the worst feeling I've ever had in my life. It was horrible, horrible. And that was like when I was 12, I was on my dad's couch withdrawing for the 100th time. And I was like on day 2 or 3, like puking, shitting, like shivering, throwing up. My dad was like, how bad is it? I'm like, it's bad. And he's like, is it as bad as the flu? I'm like, way worse. And my dad was like, is it as bad as being seasick? And I was just like, no, yeah. It's not that bad. You know?
No.
Yeah. So it's like one notch right before being seasick, but that it just doesn't stop.
For how long?
For a week, hardcore for 3 days, really bad for a week. And for the next couple months, you're feeling it. But after 3 weeks, like you could start to get your sleep pattern back.
That is so gnarly.
But I came off when I went to this place called Yellowstone. So a lot of people will step off with a thing called Suboxone or get on methadone or you know, do coke or smoke a lot of weed. Like weed would really, really help you to get off of like marijuana. If you're not planning on being sober and you want to get off opiates, weed is a good replacement. Not alcohol, not meth, not all that stuff. But I agreed to go to a hardcore cold turkey place where they would give you Advil. And I didn't know. And I was on heroin. My mom's like, I found this place. I'm like, yeah, awesome. And I woke up the next morning and I was at this place called Yellowstone in Orange County on a bunk bed. And this guy with no teeth and a Lynyrd Skynyrd bandana was waking me up. So I got that first night of sleep because I came in on heroin and I woke up. And he's like, we have prayer time. And I'm like, yes.
Oh, no.
His name was Larry. I'll never forget it. And I woke up and I go, where am I? And it was the day before Halloween. And so everybody was dressed up as characters.
No.
And so like all the staff and they were all like, it was a straight from prison program. Like half of the people were there just getting released from long-term prison time. And so a lot of the staff was dressed up as gangsters to kind of like have fun with the clientele. And so there'd be like women doctors dressed up as cholas that weren't really cholas. It was so confusing. And he go and I remember being like, let me just go back to sleep. He's like, no, you got to have prayer time. It's prayer.
No.
It's morning meditation. And I'm like, oh my God. And from that day on, I didn't sleep for 9 days straight.
How long were you at this rehab place for?
For 5 months. It was the best thing that ever happened
to me. 5 months?
Mm-hmm. Best thing that ever happened to me. But I didn't sleep. And I started seeing things and I was like because I just started getting loopy and I left with this other guy. So I'm on a bunk bed and in the middle of the night, this guy just, cause they, all of a sudden they just bring people in and you'll be kind of like all like half asleep or trying to sleep. And then they'll just bring a guy in the bunk. And so like on day 9, I was probably just like sleeping for an hour or two here or there. And this guy just comes up and I was like, oh, what's your deal? And he was like, I'm an Oxycontin addict. I'm like, yeah, me too. You know, heroin and Oxy. And he's like, oh, we got to figure something out. I'm like, where are you from? And he was like, Vegas. I was like, oh, what's your deal? And he was like, well, I'm a card dealer. And I would go to this strip club that I used to go to called Crazy Horse 2.
Crazy Horse
2. I love murder documentaries and gangster. It always traces back to Crazy Horse 2. So I went to, like, I'm skipping around, but I went to, you know, in the mid-2000s to Vegas, and I went with my friends, and we were all coked out. We ran out of coke, and we went to Crazy Horse 2. The cab driver's like, you got to go to Crazy Horse 2. And we went to Crazy Horse 2, and it was just mayhem. And the guy, like these kind of like Italian guys were out front, like, don't fuck around here. Just have fun. Don't fuck around. And my friend went in asking everybody for coke, all the dancers, and we got kicked out right away. And my friend was like this like buff, like tough guy. And he started mouthing off to these Italian guys that are running it. And they're like, they pulled me aside and they're like, you seem like the smart one of the group. He was like, we're going to thump your friend's skull and put him in a dumpster. And I just like at that core level, I was like, oh, my friend's tough, but these guys are going to thump his skull and put him in a dumpster. And I go, hey, to my friend, we got to go. He's like, fuck these guys. No. So I watched a documentary recently where it's proposed that those guys whacked up. I mean, it was just old school Vegas. You don't fuck around there. So the reason I bring that up, so this guy's on my top bunk and I'm like, he's like, I'm a card dealer. And I was like, oh, what happened? He goes, what I would do is after my shift dealing cards, I would go to the Crazy Horse 2 and get a lap dance right at the end. Cause it was open till 4 in the morning and the girls' purses were just stuffed with money that the strippers. And he goes, I watched them. When they would go into the VIP room with me, they would always put their purse in the same spot. Place, in the same spot. So I would just go in and they were usually fucked up by then, they're drunk or something. And he'd go, I would get a lap dance and then grab their purse while they were like grinding on me. And then you'd have 3,000-4,000 or whatever it was. And he goes, I did that 3 times and I got caught by the police. And the police said, you're so lucky. You're going to go to, this is a crime and this is really bad. And we don't like this around here. You're so lucky. The Crazy Horse didn't catch you. You're only getting a charge with us.
No.
You know, yeah. So,
stomp your skull.
Yeah, they were like tough guys. They were tough guys running this club. I wouldn't fuck with them. Great club. I had a blast. I felt totally safe there. We want to say said the owners of the Crazy Horse too. We were the wrong ones. We were the ones breaking the law. We were the what you were doing. It was a nice place to go. Yeah. The women made money. I was always a happy guy when I would go there. It was a very, very nice business.
You're trying to get a sponsorship. Yeah, from Crazy Horse. Too?
I don't think it's around anymore. But they seem.
God.
I feel so. I don't know what this is about me, but I feel safe around that kind of energy because I've always felt safe around
chaos
and just a lot of the people that I went to rehab with were longtime gang members being released on drug charges. And there was a few hitmen their gangs, shot caller, like hitman kind of guy. I felt totally at peace with them. Cause they're just military. It's just, there's rules. So like with the Crazy Horse too, guys, I'm not going to steal from your employees and I'm not going to do illegal drugs in your place. No problem.
Right.
Come in and have a good time. Right. It's always like or like with these people, like when I went to Yellowstone, they would get you, but you just didn't steal food from them and you didn't disrespect them at a good. There's like, I learned very quickly.
What were the people at Yellowstone like?
They're half prisoners and half fucking spoiled kids coming in, not knowing where they're at. And I would see these guys. I was smart enough to be like, I'm not fucking with these guys because half of the houses were prison houses. So it would be real interesting. They'd lay out the food and, you know, I went to Catholic school, upper middle class. Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm getting fucking. And they were like, whoa, whoa. And they would form a line. And I was like, I just watched all the prison guys and they would form a line and you didn't cut the line. You didn't reach over someone's food. It was all just about respect. And then every once in a while, someone would get mouthy or some rich kid would come in there and be like, oh, and they'd be like, you just cut all of us. Do you think you're better than this line? And so there's just this knowing that you just didn't fuck with these people. So there was a safety in it because I didn't fuck with them. You didn't joke too much. Like they were very funny, very talented, but you just didn't fuck with them. But this guy that was on my top bunk got caught. He goes, I'm withdrawing. I go, dude, I've been withdrawing for 9 days. He goes, what do they give us in here? I go, nothing. They literally put me in a room and gave me Marlboro Reds. And then like 3 hours later, like, you want chili dogs? And I'm just like, I was just crying. and there's this cuckoo clock that had a cat on it with the hands. And I was just like, it just felt like that movie Beetlejuice when they were half dead and they were going outside. It was like, I'm not sober. I'm not on drugs. I am on a different planet than everybody. It just felt like I was on a different planet. And so they for the first week, they keep you in this room, the detox room, and let you smoke cigarettes. And you're just smoking with just the weirdest people on the planet. And then, so this guy, I came in.
Do the cigarettes help?
Yeah, 5%.
Just gives you something to do?
Something. Cigarettes, masturbation, sugar.
That's how you got off.
That's how everybody. Yeah. Yeah. That's the only thing that stop it. That's it. Or sugar? Jacuzzi. Yeah. Sugar. You just start eating sugar, red vine. And I'm not a licorice guy, but red vine licorice, helps heroin withdrawal more than anything.
Really?
Yes. It completes that. There's like this molecule that's just thirsting for opiates that a little bit, the red vine.
What's
sugar.
What's in red vines?
I don't know.
There's some gnarly shit in red vines.
Yeah, there's poison. It's like, it's probably just some weird.
Though.
It hits.
Red vines.
I was just like, give me red vines. And someone was like, yeah, you know about the red vines? I'm like, no, but I just want red vines. And they're like, oh, red vines really will help you because there's a bunch of red vines there. And I would have red vines and it would go from a 10 to like a 9, you know, which is any little bit of relief is you're like.
Wow. Detoxing off heroin sounds so fucking gnarly. When I got off of Adderall, it was bad, but it wasn't like that.
Adderall's bad too.
Adderall's really bad. Mm-hmm. It was really hard. It took.
How long were you taking Adderall? I didn't know
like
that.
Like probably since college till Brody died.
Wow.
And then Brody died and I wanted to sleep. So I stopped taking it. And then I went into a psychosis.
Did you go into a psychosis because of stopping Adderall all of a sudden?
Yes.
Just pulling the plug on it?
Yes.
You can't. Yeah.
You can't do that.
It's crazy, right? You can't do that with psych meds.
No, you can't do that. And so then like getting off of it was so crazy. And like meeting people at the psych ward, like you're saying, you're like, well, these people are fucking nuts.
I know.
I'm like, I gotta get out of here fast.
I know. I actually got on. So right before Brody died, that's when I got on medication. So I waited till 10 years sober to get on medication. I'm like, something's going on. I'm just like a kind of a weird dude. And I was like, you know, a little manic, a little crazy. And Brody was the one, he was like, get on meds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to be on meds. I'm sober. And he's like, everybody's on medication, Steven. He goes, everybody that you've ever respected their comedy, they're on psych meds. And I was like, and I started naming people. He's like, yep, I'm friends with them. Yep. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Who am I? You know? Yeah. And I talked to my friend, shout out to my friend, Sarah. I was working at a restaurant 10 years ago, right when I first got sober, and she was on antidepressants, and I judged her because here I am. I've been on drugs my whole life. Now I'm sober. I'm not taking a fucking thing other than caffeine. And I go, you're on that shit? And she goes, yeah, it makes my life better. And I remember judging her. And then everybody was telling me right after I got married to Chelsea, everybody was telling me like, get on meds. Cause I was having a manic episode. And I called her and I was like, you're on meds. How are they? And she's like, they're still working great. Like, what's up? You know? And she actually fired me from a job, but she because I have bad behavior. But she was a longtime friend. And so she goes, I haven't done drugs in 10 years. And she goes, oh, so like in your 12-step community, do you give like awards and trophies out for the people who suffer most? And I go, huh? And then she goes, oh, it sounds to me like you want to be like the best at your 12-step. And she goes, tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm not in that community, but it's all about ego reduction. I said, yeah. And she goes, this all sounds like ego to me. Like the ego is the only thing that's keeping you from getting a doctor's help. And I was just like, thank you. And then I instantly, like, I called Brody and Brody's like, get on it. And I was doing stand-up actively at the store 5 nights a week while getting on it. And I was like, for the first like week or two, like I was just off a beat, you know? And I was like, I would say my point, I was just like, my rhythm was off when you're doing an art right. That's so
what
sensitive.
What meds were you on?
I'm still on them. Seroquel and Buspar. So I got on Seroquel and Buspar.
And do you find that they help?
I've had a child. My money is quadrupled. Multiplied by 5, everything in my physical and emotional world is just, I've leveled up.
I'm on Prozac and it makes such a big difference.
How long have you been on it?
Since I got off Adderall. I went to a psychiatrist because I went into psychosis and the psychiatrist was like,
I watched the video.
That was
a classic.
Yeah. I went to the psychiatrist and they prescribed me.
What is it for? Anxiety or depression or?
Depression and looped like obsessive thoughts. It'll be the same thing on repeat over and over and over again. And it's like intrusive and I can't stop having the same thought. Something bad's going to happen. And then it's like, okay, nothing bad is happening.
I know. If you want to know what's caused me, it hasn't been heroin addiction. It hasn't been, I think that I was trying to medicate it. It's looping negative thoughts. It's not just being negative. Like, oh, I'm a negative. Like, it's just these like, oh, you have cancer and that's what that bump is on your knee and it's spreading right now. And you're like, huh. And then you're like, Steven, it's spreading right now. And then you're like, you go to the doctor and they go, you're perfectly fine. And he goes, How new is that doctor? Luckily, your family's going to sue that doctor and get a lot of money because you're dead and he could have helped. And it's been that since I was 8 years old. I remember when the first cases of AIDS came out.
I thought I had it.
I had it. I was living with it.
I would always check the, I would check the movie theater seats extra.
For needles?
You remember there was a rumor?
Yes.
Was that even true?
So movie theaters, the beach. I would walk with shoes.
Public phone booths in the thing that gives
all the money. I never thought about that one. Yeah. It was like prick, prick. Your life's over.
Yeah,
your life's changed.
Yeah,
that was
the thing because I was like in fifth grade. It was a long time ago in the 90s.
In the 90s, I heard that hypodermic needles, and I would go on to be a heroin addict. But hypodermic needles washed up medical waste on the beach. And I remember asking my mom, like, so needles are just floating. She's like, for that one day, maybe they found a few. I loved the ocean. I didn't go in for 2 years because I was like, oh, I'm gonna
get AIDS.
And every time I would step in the ocean, I'm like, ah, I'm like, it was an AIDS needle, and just convinced it was an AIDS needle. You couldn't convince me. It was like, and I would just sit and just stare, like pictures of me as a kid just sitting and staring off in the distance about dark things that like
about AIDS needles.
Looping thoughts.
It's so bad. But now I do this thing. since getting medicated and then also incorporating like all kinds of like new age shit.
Me too.
I do this thing like positive thinking. So then I try to loop the positive thoughts. So then it'll be like, everything is working out for me. Everything is working out for me. That also feels a little crazy.
But I don't care.
Yeah, no.
I don't care. I do the same thing. That's the only way out.
Yeah, that's the only way out is to replace it with a positive thought.
Yes. So Tony Robbins says, delete. So have you ever done that one?
No.
So whenever the looping starts, you go, delete. No, delete. And so so I only needed to do it one day because it just if you're in your car, delete. And so it'll be like, you have, you know, something bad is going to, your daughter's choking. Delete. And you just, Tony Robbins says it out loud all the time. So you just delete.
Do you do
and
the snap shorts, too?
I added that part. Delete. Redirect, you know? redirect, delete, redirect, you know?
So funny. This was such a funny podcast.
I know. So I had a guy, so that it's cognitive behavioral therapy. My therapist gave me a list. And so it'll be like, what's the negative thought? How do you feel? And what's the opposite? And then I write those down and say that mantra and I yank it. I do that all day long.
And the writing of it helps you create proteins that change your brain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
My psychiatrist had me do that too. He was like, because there's all these different cognitive distortions. Like one is like all or nothing thinking.
Yeah, I have that.
Yeah. I'm like, I am headed for success. Look
or
at
the streets.
Or the streets. Yeah. There's nothing in the middle.
No.
Yeah.
I have that.
Yeah, that. And then like there's all kinds of different ones, but yeah.
I had this guy when I was working at a restaurant. This guy would come in with crystals and he'd wave them over. I told this on Jeremiah Watkins' podcast. He has crystals and he would wave them over the food to tell him if he was prepared to have a bite or not. And
no.
So his wife would do these weird testings where she would go to take a bite and he would grab her hand and she would fight through it. And then sometimes she would fight through the bite and he'd be like, yeah. And she would eat it. And they're like, they'd wear turtlenecks. Kind of where I got some of the motivation from Martin Martins.
No.
They were just these mystical wizard people. And the guy would always get an Oakwood grilled salmon with vegetables and a Diet Coke. And I forgot his Diet Coke 3 times in a row. So I went to the table. He goes, oh, my Diet Coke. And I'm like, oh, sorry. And I came by again. He's like, my Diet Coke. The third time he grabbed my wrist and goes, gentle correction, and started tapping it and goes, Diet Coke. I ran like a little submissive sex slave. I was like, yes, mister. And I went and got his Diet Coke and brought it like an obedient servant right back.
What did he say? Gentle correction?
Gentle correction, Diet Coke, please.
No.
And tapped my wrist 3 times. And I was just, I was like, and I just went, I got his Diet Coke immediately.
No.
And I was like, how did that? I felt ashamed for forgetting his Diet Coke and then ashamed for like that whole interaction. But I was like, what was I say? Hey, bro, I didn't really like when you touched me and gently corrected me towards proper behavior. It was like every time they would come in, I would just be like, ugh, like I just hate myself.
People.
Yes. Gentle, correct, just gentle.
Like no.
A correction, but a gentle one.
No, that is so gnarly. That's our episode. It was so much fun. Where can people find you?
People could find me primarily on Instagram and Facebook. My Instagram is at Steven Randolph 2, StevenRandolph2. The number 2.
Okay, we'll link to it in the description.
And TikTok.
And TikTok. Oh yeah, you're on TikTok too.
And Facebook is back, baby.
Facebook?
Yes, Facebook Reels.
I never go on there.
I erased my Facebook from high school, deleted it, back on. Delete. Gentle correction. And now I'm back with the pro account. And I got like 10 or 11,000 followers within a month and a half. Because it's just your same videos you're posting on everything
on
else.
Instagram.
Just post them on Reels. And it just gives it to a whole new population of people.
Oh, shit.
Comedian Steven Randolph there on Facebook.
Yes. Thank you, Steven. This was so much fun. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Shank. Subscribe, rate, review. I am coming to Austin, Texas. Yeehaw. On what day is that? August 16th.
Terry Black's.
Terry Black's barbecue.
So good.
So good.
Best food I've ever had.
The best food ever. Yeah. Follow me at Princess Shank. And then you can find me here every Wednesday on Shank and every Monday on this bitch. And we'll see you next week. Bye.